RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia gives free visa to South Africa entrepreneurs. Aviastar victims to be evacuated by air to Makassar for identification. Sharia capital market grows, Indonesia Stock Exchange BEI says. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian government gives the visa-free facility for 30 days to at least 130 South African entrepreneurs who join in the National Federated Chamber of Commerce and Industry and invited to attend Trade Expo Indonesia 2015 on October 21st until 25th. Head of Indonesian Trade Promotion Center, Johannesburg, Pontas Parasarwan Tobing, in a press release said on Monday that the special invitation is an effort of the Indonesian government to increase business cooperation with South African entrepreneurs. Pontas Parasarwan Tobing also said that those entrepreneurs have held business meeting along with Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry recently. South Africa becomes an important exporting destination country for Indonesia. Based on the World Trade Atlas, Indonesia stays on the 27th exporting country in South Africa, with a total of trade of both countries reached to $1.2 billion in 2014. The Indonesian government will implement the timber legality verification system to all producers of furniture and crafts wood based in 2016. The policies are listed in the Minister of Trade Regulation No. 66, year 2015, on the export of forestry industry products. The furniture and crafts wood based are required to have the verification system as a mandatory for exporting products. The policy receives a response from producers who are members of the Indonesia Rattan Furniture and Craft Association. Secretary General of the Association, Abdul Sobur, Monday, has objected to the government policy. We do not agree with the implementation of timber legality verification system in the downstream industry. Downstream here means that the post tariff on the export such as table, chair, bed, cupboard, and anything as long as we use timber material. Sobur was of the view that the policy should be applied to the upstream industry, namely wood processing industries that use large-scale wood such as pulp and paper companies. While furniture and crafts wood-based industry, according to Sobur, is the downstream industries as the raw material is prepared by the upstream industry. Therefore, if the wood is considered legal in the upstream industry, then furniture producers are no longer need timber legality verification system. Sobur said the implementation of the system in Indonesia as a mandatory requirement will only become an obstacle to export furniture products from the country because none of Indonesia's wood product export destinations require Timbul Legality Verification System. Rescue officials have reached the crash site of an Aviastar Twin Otter turboprop plane, which had been missing since Friday, but the rough terrain means all victims will be evacuated by air. Air Marshal Bambang Sulistyo, head of the National Search and Rescue Agency Basarnas, on Tuesday said the ill-fated plane crashed into the slopes of Mount Latimojong, Luwu District, South Sulawesi. He added that crash site is located deep in the forest, surrounded by steep ravines at an elevation of 3,478 meters above sea level. The National Police's Disaster Victims Identification DVI team is already standing by at Makassar Sultan Hasanuddin Air Base to identify remains at the Bayangkara Police Hospital, also in Makassar. Helicopters are being deployed to the scene to conduct the evacuation. Basarnas has also increased the number of personnel deployed from 125 to 259, consisting of search and rescue, military and police officers. Meanwhile, 18 doctors have been gathered by police to identify the victims of the ill-fated Aviastar airplane that went missing since Friday. South and West Sulawesi Police Medical and Health Center Head Sergeant Commissioner Raden Harjuno said on Tuesday, escorted by Tempo.co, that the team is still waiting for the victims to be retrieved and transported from Mount Latimojong in Luwu Regency to Makassar. The plane lost contact with air traffic controllers 11 minutes after taking off from Masamba in South Sulawesi in good weather on Friday. It was headed for Makassar, the provincial capital, and was carrying 3 crew members and 7 passengers. After searching for 3 days, the search and rescue team found the plane on Mount Latimojong in Luwu Regency, around 2,700 meters above sea level. Reports said there were no survivors. The evacuation process is set to be conducted on Tuesday. The evacuation process is set to be conducted on Tuesday. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Sharia-compliant capital market share in Indonesia increased by 5.4% in the past 10 years, the Indonesia Stock Exchange has said. The Indonesia Stock Exchange, or BEI, Development Director Nicky Hogan said, at a workshop in Jakarta on Monday, October 5th, that the Sharia-compliant capital markets share increased to 20% in 2013 from 13% in 2003. Sharia-compliant capital market is that component of the capital market which applies Sharia principles. It is not an independent unit, but is part of the existing capital market. The National Sharia Council of the Indonesian Ulama Council issued the Sharia principles in the form of a religious edict or fatwa that was incorporated in the Financial Service Authority OJK's regulation. According to Nikki, at 59.2%, the share of the Sharia compliant capital market in Asia currently is the highest in the world. The executive chief of the OJK's Capital Market Supervisory Board, Nur Haida, said his side will issue regulations regarding Sharia-compliant capital market at the end of this year. Soekarno-Hatta Airport Fish Quarantine Officer foils the smuggling of thousands of shark fins that will be sent to Hong Kong, officer said Tuesday, October 6. The head of Monitoring, Control and Information Fish Quarantine, Quality Control and Safety and of Fishery Jakarta, Rusnanto, said on Tuesday, the protected white-tip shark fins, valued at 1.9 billion rupiah, was sent by someone via PTSPJ in West Jakarta and Tangerang. Rusnanto estimates that as many as 3,000 sharks from the Java Sea were slaughtered for their fins. Thousands of the white-tip fins were packed in 74 bales mixed with stingray fins and other shark species which are not reserved. According to Rusnanto, shark fins are widely used as ingredients in tonics, also for sale, and restaurants for soup mix. In calculating the value of sales, white-tip shark fins are sold for 5 to 9 million rupiah per kilogram. To follow up on the smuggling case, the Fish Quarantine Service will collaborate with various agencies. Under the Fisheries Act No. 31 of 2004 and No. 45 of 2009, particularly Article 7, Paragraph 2, the sender could be convicted. The last item. The growth in Chinese tourists visiting Indonesia reached a high point this year from January to August, a 20.74% increase from the same period in 2014. The Central Statistics Agency, DBS, recorded a total of 6,322,592 foreign tourists entering the country from January to August. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said on Monday that the numbers of foreign tourists visiting Indonesia in August exceeded his ministry's target of 850,000. He was sure that foreign tourism, especially from the five main countries, Singapore, Malaysia, China, Japan, and Australia, would not be affected significantly by the global economic crisis. The minister further said that the government hopes in the next few months that foreign tourists visiting from those five countries and from other countries with visa-free entry will increase. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia gives free visa to South Africa entrepreneurs. Avia Star victims to be evacuated by air to Makassar for identification. Sharia capital market grows, Indonesia Stock Exchange BIS says. That was the news.
Listener, here's commentary entitled House of Representatives Performance Not Optimum. Lately, people's representatives who sit in the House have been under the spotlight. Some parties, claiming acting in the name of people, felt that they had chosen representatives whose performance had not been maximized. Members of parliaments, or MPs, did not reflect the fact that they are working for the benefit of people they represent, but tend to focus more on their own personal and party interests. Behavior like this eventually rose to the surface and has become the target of criticism of the people who feel disappointed. Representatives of the people who they thought would fight for them turned out to be just disappointing. A clear example when it was recently revealed that they had secretly planned to increase their allowance through their performance today is still considered poor and far from satisfactory. The MPs, who are supposed to behave in a respectable manner, have been just showing just the opposite, often quarreled and fought each other just for power or position. Not to mention the foreign visit made by some MPs, which lately has become a public gossip. Some House leaders were known to visit USA and then showed up in a presidential candidate campaign. Many consider it to be unethical, like being involved with domestic politics of other countries. Please note that the House is now has entered its second year, yet their performance is under the spotlight for not being able to complete a pile of targets, especially in its legislative function. The 2015 National Legislation Program has set a target of 37 draft law planned to be completed before the end of the year. Right now, with the remaining 3 months before the end of 2015, the House only managed to complete 3 bills of the targeted amount. Related to the lack of laws produced by the lawmakers of this period, Vice Chairman of the House said that the Parliament is not a factory of laws. He argued that despite the legislative function of the House, which has got negative public scrutiny, the priority target programs of national legislation is not determined by the number of laws produced. Basically, a bill entering the national legislation program should be enacted as a law first because all the proposals are in the hands of the House. They can be accepted and can also be rejected. On another occasion, a cabinet secretary, Pramono Agung, met the House leadership to discuss a joint task between the government and the parliament on legislation. He said the parliament legislative achievement per quarter this year a far cry from the target. The performance of parliament in charge of legislation needs to be improved by working more intensely with the government. He did not miss that in the matters of legislation, ultimately the government and parliament will draw responsibility to each other. However, he asserted the constitutional right in the discussion of legislation is in the hands of the House. Well, listener, that was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1973. Egypt launches a coordinated attack with Syria against Israel, leading to the Yom Kippur War. The Yom Kippur War, or Ramadan War, or October War, also known as the 1973 Arab-Israeli War, was a war fought by the coalition of Arab states led by Egypt and Syria against Israel from October 6 to 25, 1973. With the exception of isolated attacks on Israeli territory on October the 6th and 9th, the military combat actions during the war took place on Arab territory, mostly in the Sinai and the Golan Heights. Egypt and Syria wanted to regain the Sinai and the Golan Heights respectively. Egyptian President Anwar Sadat wanted also to reopen the Suez Canal. Both did not plan to destroy Israel, although the Israeli leaders could not be sure of it. The war began when the Arab coalition launched a joint surprise attack on Israeli position in the Israeli-occupied territories on Yom Kippur, the holiest day in Judaism, which also occurred that year during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. Egyptian and Syrian forces crossed ceasefire lines to enter the Sinai Peninsula and Golan Heights respectively, which had been captured by Israel in the 1967-60 war. Both the United States and the Soviet Union initiated massive resupply efforts to their respective allies during the war, and this led to a near confrontation between the two nuclear superpowers. Move now to 1981. Egyptian President Anwar el-Sadat is murdered by extremists. Muhammad Anwar el-Sadat, who was born on December 25, 1918, and died on October 6, 1981, was the third president of Egypt, serving from October 15, 1970 until his assassination by fundamentalist army officers on October 6, 1981. Sadat was a senior member of the free officers who overthrew King Farouk in the Egyptian Revolution of 1952 and a close confidant of President Gamal Abdel Nasser, under whom he served as vice president twice and whom he succeeded as president in 1970. We end with something that happened on October the 6, 1998. Tempo magazine recirculated after the New Order government shut it down for 4 years. Tempo magazine is the first magazine which has no affiliation with the government in Indonesia. In 1982, for the first time, the magazine was closed because it was considered too sharply critical of the regime and their political vehicle, the Golkar. But eventually, it was allowed to rise again after signing a kind of pledge on a paper seal with the Minister of Information at the time, Ali Murtopo. In June 1994, for the second time, this magazine was dissolved by the government through the Minister of Information, Harmoko. The magazine was considered too harsh
in criticizing Suharto and Habibie and particulars on purchase of warship from East Germany. The report was considered dangerous to state stability, where the main report discusses military objection to import it by the Ministry of Research and Technology, B.G. Habibie then. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today's focus is on Indonesia and Malaysia Farm Oil Producers Council. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. The governments of Indonesia and Malaysia, as the two largest palm oil producers in the world, have formed Council of Palm Oil Producing Countries, or CPOPC, to push the world's palm oil price stability and develop the downstream industry. It will maintain price stability by coordinating production and stock of palm oil products in the global market. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Resources Rizal Ramli said Indonesia and Malaysia control 85% of world palm oil market. The market would understand if the two countries join together because it can give an effect to the stabilization of oil prices. However, Indonesia and Malaysia will also invite other palm oil producers to join the council. Rizal Ramli asserted the governments of Indonesia and Malaysia will intensify coordination. So, in a meeting between President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister Tun Abdul Razak in the near future, the council can be immediately launched. Rizal Ramli was optimistic it would be an important milestone in the efforts of both governments to make palm oil as a strategic commodity that can be received through export destination country. Rizal Ramli added that the council formation would be advantageous for Indonesia and Malaysia since both are big producers producing 85% of global CPO. Related to that, the Minister of Plantation Industries and Commodities of Malaysia, Dato' Amar Douglas Unggah Embas, say that the Oil Producers Council will also encourage the implementation of practical level of palm oil industry that are environmentally friendly and sustainable. Therefore, in addition to price stabilization and harmonization of standards, the Council will also have a working committee to study the sustainable palm oil industry. He will also facilitate inter-countries private companies in forming green economic zone for the palm oil industry with added value. The two countries' technical ministries will form a working committee and each will have the task corresponding to the CPOPC agenda. On the other hand, the Indonesian Minister of National Development Planning, Sofian Jalil, said for the establishment of CPOPC, the two governments will contribute to allocate part of their state budget. Meanwhile, Minister of Agriculture and Communication of Malaysia, Dato' Amar Douglas Unggah Embas, said his country is ready to become the main initiator of the establishment of CPOPC because palm oil is a strategic commodity. He said with the establishment of the board, both countries will continue to cooperate in various fields such as research and tech development. In addition, Indonesia and Malaysia will continue to promote positive campaign to advance the CPO industry. That was Focus Today on Indonesia and Malaysia Farm Oil Producers Council. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, welcome to headline of some national newspapers published on Tuesday, October 6, 2015 in Jakarta. We start with Kompas headline. The Daily writes about optimism is continuously developed. President Joko Widodo emphasized that all parties should be optimistic amid the global economic slowdown that also occurred in Indonesia. The optimism is cause of widely investment opportunity and job creation in Indonesia. Therefore, the government has provided stimulus. President Joko Widodo in Cilegon, Banten on Monday stated, last week, the government has conveyed that currently the license to the Investment Coordinating Board BKPM only need 3 hours to take care of the principal permit, the manufacturer of company or PT, and tax ID number or MPWP. Media Indonesia in its headline about TNI to be a maritime power in East Asia. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invites Indonesian military TNI to recall the identity as the People's Army who was born and grown by people. In his speech on the commemoration of the 70th TNI anniversary in Cilegon, Banten on Monday, President Joko Widodo hoped in the next 5 years, TNI will become a formidable maritime power in Southeast Asia. President also said TNI should increase its capacity by continuously doing modernization of main weaponry system, Alutsista, to achieve independence. Meanwhile, Republika in its headline writes about smoke victim infants to be evacuated. Thick haze due to land and forest fires in Sumatra and Kalimantan threaten the health of infants and toddlers. The number are now getting more increased. In Palembang, South Sumatra, children aged 0 to 5 years old suffering from respiratory infection reached at least 10,056 people since last July and August. And we conclude today's headline with Business Indonesia. In its headline, writes about investors are asked to be aware. We conclude today's headline with Business Indonesia. In its headline, writes about investors are asked to be aware. Although they're already jumped sharply at the beginning of the week, investors are advised to remain vigilant given the stock price index is expected to remain depressed in the short term. Amid strengthening of global stock market Monday, the stock price index rose sharply by 3.23% to 4,343.7, and the entire sector index rose, led by basic industry and chemical sector, amounted to 6.83%, then followed by the banking sector, amounted to 4.52%. Listener, that was headline of some national newspapers published today in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. The Indonesian government gives the visit visa-free facility for 30 days to at least 130 South African entrepreneurs who join in the National Federated Chamber of Commerce and Industry and invited to attend Trade Expo Indonesia 2015 on October 21st until 25th. The Indonesian government will implement the timber legality verification system to all producers of furniture and craft wood based in 2016. The policies are listed in the Minister of Trade Regulation No. 66, year 2015, on the export of forestry industry products. Rescue officials have reached the crash site of an Aviastar twin otter turboprop plane, which had been missing since Friday, but the rough terrain means all victims will be evacuated by air. Meanwhile, 18 doctors have been gathered by police to identify the victims of the ill-fated Aviastar airplane that went missing since Friday. The Sharia-compliant capital markets share in Indonesia increased by 5.4% in the past 10 years, the Indonesia Stock Exchange BI has said. BI Development Director Nicky Hogan said at a workshop in Jakarta on Monday, October 5th, that the Sharia-compliant capital markets share increased to 20% in 2013 from 13% in 2003. Soekarno-Hatta Airport Fish Quarantine Officer foils the smuggling of thousands of shark fins that will be sent to Hong Kong. The head of Monitoring, Control and Information Fish Quarantine Quality Control and Safety of Fishery Jakarta, Rusnanto, said on Tuesday, the protected white-tipped shark fins, valued at $1.9 billion, was sent by someone via PTSPJ in West Jakarta and Tangerang. The growth in Chinese tourists visiting Indonesia reached a high point this year from January to August, a 20.74% increase from the same period in 2014. That was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. Thank you for still listening at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin. Next segments, we have Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you all again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Gandrang Bulo Dance. Stay tuned. Salo Karajai Festival was held in Sumpang Minangye Village, West Batu Kiki Sub-District, Parepare, South Sulawesi on Monday, October 5, 2015. Salo Karajai Festival has become an annual event in the town of Parepare and it is held to lift the tourism sector in Bandar Madani City. In the festival, it is also performed a traditional dance, namely Gandrang Bulo Dance. The dance was contested by 30 elementary schools throughout Parepare City and has successfully attracted tourists, especially foreign tourists. They interested to the dance since it just like the circus performance. Gandrang Bulo itself comes from two words. Gandrang means tabuan or beating and bulo which means bamboo. From the original words, Gandrang Bulo dance means traditional dance accompanied by drums and usually accompanied by the sound of beating of bamboo. Gandrang Bulo is usually played by a number of people with cheerful and lively atmosphere, therein inserted the dialogue or interested humor in around people's daily life. Listener, Gandrang Bulo performance is accompanied by traditional music consisted of bamboo strips that beated simultaneously, drum and flute. The players of Gandrang Bulo wear Makassar traditional clothes, consisting of sarung and headband typical of Makassar. Performer or the dancers bring cute characters like an idiot or innocent people meet with powerful officials or arrogant people. They usually manage to disturb the strong power men with comedian attractions greeted by audience's tears. Listener, initially, Gandrang Bulo actually just a dance accompanied by drums. Then the dance accompanied by witty songs, humorous dialogues, but full of criticism and aided with gestures that invite laughter. Around 1942, when the war against the invaders, the artists do not want to lose to take part. They also establish the basis of resistance from the stage. Gandrang Bulo then became a very popular folk art. Recently, around the late of 1960s, Gandrang Bulo has recreations. The new creation was done by DJ Nyangka, an artist from Bontonompo, Goa Regency. From the time, Gandrang Bulo is known in the stage dances in the ceremonial occasions. Gandrang Bulo is then often appeared at official functions of the government. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Gandrang Bulo Dance. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa. Bye for now.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is membeli kacamata, or in English, buying glasses. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Membeli. Membeli in English, to buy. Kacamata. Kacamata, glasses. Dokter mata. Dokter mata. Ophthalmologist. Tidak terlalu mahal. Tidak terlalu mahal. Not too expensive. Mengganti, mengganti, to change. Ukuran, ukuran, measurement. Sore, afternoon. Langganan, langganan, regular. Model, model, style. Kualitas, kualitas, quality. Potongan harga, potongan harga. Discount price. Next is a conversation on membeli kacamata, or in English, buying glasses. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Budi and Tom. Apakah kamu tahu toko kacamata yang bagus dan murah? Apakah kamu tahu toko kacamata yang bagus dan murah? In English, do you know any optician which is good yet inexpensive? Kata dokter mata, saya harus ganti kacamata. Kata dokter mata, saya harus ganti kacamata. In English, the doctor said I need to change my glasses. Dokter mata sudah memberikan ukuran kacamata saya. Dokter mata sudah memberikan ukuran kacamata saya. The ophthalmologist
has already given a prescription for me. Kalau begitu, nanti sore saya antar kamu. Kalau begitu, nanti sore saya antar kamu. In English, in that case, I'll accompany you there this afternoon. Saya punya langganan toko kacamata. Saya punya langganan toko kacamata. I know a glasses store well. Selain modelnya bagus, kacamata di toko kacamata itu kualitasnya juga bagus. Dan harganya tidak terlalu mahal. Selain modelnya bagus, kacamata di toko kacamata itu kualitasnya juga bagus dan harganya tidak terlalu mahal. In English, the styles of glasses there are beautiful and the quality is good and the prices are not too expensive. Siapa tahu sedang ada potongan harga. Siapa tahu sedang ada potongan harga. Who knows, maybe there is a discount price. Baiklah, sampai nanti sore. Baiklah, sampai nanti sore. In English, okay, till this afternoon then. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present an Indonesian music group, namely Coklat. Well, listener, let's listen to a song entitled Drama by Coklat Band. Happy listening. Chocolate Band was firstly formed on June 25, 1996, and produced many works that could be enjoyed by music lovers in Indonesia. The personnel of the band chose the name of Chocolate or Chocolate because they hope their music can be accepted by all layers of people like Chocolate. Chocolate Band consisted of five personnel, namely Jacqueline, the vocalist, Otto, the drummer, Ernest and Edwin, guitarist, and Febrianto, the bassist, have cooperated to raise the band in the Indonesian music industry. Chocolate Band presents a rock music genre like hard rock, and pop punk. Well, listener, now let's listen to a song entitled Temani Aku by Chocolate Band.
Kau ada
Although Chocolate Band initially has changed its personnel, the group never stopped to work. On May 28th to July 7th, 2015, Chocolate held public party entitled Sehari Bersama Chocolate Kita, or SBCK, or A Day with Our Chocolate. The event, which was promoted by community and the Chocolate Kita team, held in some cities in Java, especially Central Java. The whole event was getting more supported about the friendship between musicians and their fans. The first point of SBCK, or Sehari Bersama Chocolate Kita, was started from June 30th until July 7th, 2015, where we saw all the event mostly filled with performance from the musicians of brand ambassador chocolatekita.com, namely Melly Mono, who was in duet with Budi Cilok in Banjar Harjo Brebes Regency. Then continued on July the 1st in Tegal, July 4th in Cilacap, and also lasted in Cilacap. Dear listener, to conclude today's music corner, we'll dedicate to you the coming two songs entitled Sesal and Tanpa Rasa by Chocolate Band. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz,
and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.